John chapter 1, we read that. Blake read that already. And it is a reminder to us of why the gospel is written in the first place. And also, it speaks about that in John chapter 20, verse 31, right at the end of the book of John. These things are written, speaking of the book of John, that you might believe that Jesus Christ, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, what does it say? That by believing, what? You may have life. You may have life in His name. So my aim this morning, as a minister of these words, is that you would believe in Jesus as a Son of God, and that you would experience the newness of life. I don't know about you, but I need that experience of newness of life. Because the events of life, they get me down sometimes. They challenge me. They make me question my faith sometimes. I'll be honest with you. You know, and I need that newness of life. That the Bible says is offered to us if we believe in Jesus the Christ. The reason I say the newness of life is because John chapter 10, verse 10 says, the reason Jesus came into the world was that His sheep might have overflowing life. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Have it abundantly. Would you say you have abundant life? The Greek word that is used there speaks of an excess, an overflow, a surplus. The idea that Jesus gives life that is more ordinary than just our life. The life of a Christian is life upon life. It is an excess of life. It is life added to life. It is beyond just our physical life. It is a spiritual life. And a way to have this life, the Bible teaches us, is that to believe in Jesus. John chapter 5, verse 24. I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word, believes him who sent me, has eternal life. He will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. Have you thought about that before? The idea that when we believe in Christ, we cross over from death into life. You can have that new life this morning. A life that is more than the life you have ever known before. Life that is so wonderful that the Bible describes it as you crossing over from death into life. That's the newness of life. Even Christians this morning who have weakened in faith, have lost the power of the new life, they can find a stronger faith, they can find a fuller life in these words of God this morning that we're reading. And this is our goal. These things are written, talking about the book of John, and in this message that is preached to you, that you might believe in Jesus. Like you have never believed in Jesus before, and by believing, you get life that you have never experienced before. That is a goal. That's a pretty lofty goal this morning. But should we not expect that? We are in the house of the Lord. We are here where the Holy Spirit is among us and ministering to us and is shining His light on the Son of God. That's what Christianity is all about. When that first chorus you were singing up there, I thought, well, that would be good to put on our float. Come and see what God has done. That would be a good thing to have on our float. But our text today can be summed up in three basic statements. God sent a man named John. That was number one. Number two, John came as a witness to testify concerning the light. And number three, the aim of his testimony, the goal of his testimony is one important goal, and that is that all might believe. That's basically the three-point outline. Now I just need a poem and we can close this thing off. But take a look at one at a time. Let's look at that scripture. And the first one is, God sent a human witness. God sent a human witness. God sent a man named John. John chapter 1, verse 6, there came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. Why does John, the writer of the gospel, introduce John the Baptist here? It's kind of almost an interruption to the text. In verse 5, just before that, he's talking about the light shining in the darkness and the darkness not overcoming it. And in verse 9, a few verses later, he goes on to talk more about the light coming into the world. So those verses that were read this morning, they kind of seem like they're an interruption to the story. Why does John introduce John the Baptist right there? Why couldn't he have done that later? Well, John could have written it that way, but he didn't. And the effect of the way he did write it was to make it crystal clear to all of us at the very outset that God's way of letting light, the light of Christ, shine in the world is through you and me. We are to be the witnesses to the light, just as John the Baptist was a witness to the light. God's way of pushing back the darkness is by human witnesses. It doesn't have to be this way. Or it didn't have to be this way. God could have caused the light of Christ to spread in some other way. He could have done it with the angels. He could have made a giant puffy clouds in the sky and write those letters out there. He could have caused the wind to talk. But instead, God chose to call and send human beings to bear witness to the light. He's sending you and me as Christians to be a witness. The general principle is even more clear because John has sent to testify to the light even while the light is in the world. Did you think about that? When John the Baptist is out there preaching in the desert, Jesus comes to them. They are contemporaries with one another. He is the light of the world. John the Baptist is there testifying to the light. God sent a human being alongside the light to bear witness to the light. Jesus did not need John the Baptist to make him known. He could have managed it all by himself because he was in fact the light of the world. But evidently, God decided in his wisdom that his son should be heralded, should be announced, should be proclaimed by the people he has sent. That being John the Baptist and you and me. Evidently, God understands and knows that the greatest way to bring happiness to the world and to men, and the greatest glory to his son, is by sending us into the world to witness to the light. This truth has two important implications for us. One is that we should be alert to the possible call of God on our lives. We need to be aware of what God is calling us to in this world. All Christians are to be the light of the world. All are called to witness to the light. And sometimes God calls us in a special way for a special task. Matthew 9, verse 38, "Pray ye therefore to the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into the harvest. How shall they hear and believe if there is no one to preach to them?" Romans chapter 10. "Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has set you as overseers." In other words, people are called vocationally to be a witness to the light. But it's God's way to speak to a person and to send that person to testify to the light. If God has spoken to you, if God is in your heart, if the Holy Spirit is in you, then you are to be a witness to the light. Be ready and open to hear the call and accept the commission that God has for you. Don't assume that what you're doing now is your only mission in life. That mission can change in a sense. The goal remains the same, to be a witness to the light. But how you carry that out can be different at different times of your life. You may have a completely new mission in the future that you're not even aware of right now. Maybe right now you're feeling like you're in your zone. You know exactly what you're supposed to be doing. Maybe you're out there and you're the farmer, okay? And you know you have to be. You do this in the spring. You plant in the spring and you take care of the fields and then in the fall you harvest. And this is like a continual thing that you've done. And you're in your zone. You believe this is what God called you to, and that very well could be. But maybe in the future it's something else. I don't know. But are you open to the call? Maybe you're a greeter at Home Depot or somewhere like that. What is What could possibly, that's a wonderful thing to have a bright smiling face and a welcome handshake when you come into Home Depot, because that's a very intimidating place. I don't know if you've ever been there before, but it's just crazy. There's too much stuff there. Just my senses go on overload. I don't like it. I start melting down. But for some people, they really like those places. But to have that greeter in there, maybe to help you, that'd be good. But maybe your mission is different in the future. Are you open to that? The other implication for us is that we should be ready and be open to hear the testimonies of others whom God has sent to you. God means to communicate to us not merely through our private Bible reading, but also through other people. God could send somebody to you. He means to communicate through my preaching. He wants to communicate through Sunday school teachers like Blake or Llewellyn and through godly parents. Boy, that's a good message for the kids to hear. Maybe the godly parents do have something to say to teenagers. Maybe they should open their ears sometimes and listen. Boy, I'm preaching to my own kids now. It's terrible. Wow. I shouldn't do it. Amen. Hey, praise God. All right. But we need to be aware that God wants to communicate to us through those he sends to us. Otherwise, why would God send them to us if they had nothing to say to us? But are we open to hearing it? Maybe someday when I'm gone, and I always tell you, I joke about this, but it's really not a joke. My wife already has my plots in the cemetery picked out for me. Okay? She's already bought that for me. I can't believe it. She must be eager for the life insurance. I'm not sure, but anyway. I want someone to say, there was a man sent from God whose name was Pastor Bill. And I hope that's true for your life. I hope others down the road will say, and they'll look back on their childhood time here at FCC, and they'll say, there was a woman sent from God whose name was Shirley or Mandy or Llewellyn or Nicole, or you fill in the blank. They were sent by God and they spoke into my life. They were a witness to Christ, and it changed my life. So be ready and open to God's call on your life so that God can send you to bear witness to the light. And also be ready and open to recognize that the word of God to you, when it comes to you from others. This is the first step in our text. God sent a man named John, a human being. God was spreading the light of Christ by human witness. The second step is that God is the way God uses people to promote the light by their testimony. So we're not just talking about speaking the truth, but we're talking about living the truth. John was a witness. He was a witness that spoke the truth, but he was a man of some experience and knowledge that could help establish the truth. And that is what a witness is really about. There is some fact in dispute, and we can help establish the truth of that fact. God had spoken to John in the wilderness about the coming Messiah. And his meeting with Jesus at the baptism gave him the experience he needed to be the bona fide witness that he was. John even says, he remarks that he says this, I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me. The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God. So God had spoken to John earlier about the one who was coming, and then he gave him a clear sign to let him know that Jesus, in fact, was the one that he is to bear testimony to. There's an example of Jonathan Edwards, a great preacher in the, I guess it would be the 18th century or 1744, preached a particular sermon, and his text was John chapter 5, verse 35, where it says, John was a lamp that burned and gave light, and you chose for a time to enjoy his light. And Edwards developed the point that that a faithful witness to the gospel burns and shines, and there is a warmth of zeal, and there is the light of truth in that person's life. And I'm sure that you know a person or two, I'm sure, that has a light of Christ shining through them. When I thought about that question, the first person that popped in my mind was my mother-in-law. I thought about Norma. She was such a person. She had a warmth of a zeal and the light of truth. Her joy and love for the Lord exuded out of her. She was fun to be around, and you wanted to be around her because her relationship with the Savior was so real. John the Baptist had both of these qualities, didn't he? He had a zealousness about following the Lord. He expressed the light of the truth, and he's a great example for us. First, the light of the truth. He said some very important things about Jesus. In John chapter 1, verse 23, he called him the Lord. Make straight paths for the Lord. What is really amazing about this is he's quoting out of the book of Isaiah, and in the book of Isaiah, that is a reference to God himself, but John the Baptist uses it and applies it to Jesus. And in John chapter 1, verse 27, John says that Jesus is so great that he is unworthy to untie his sandals. So he spoke of Jesus' unmatched worthiness. I am not worthy to untie his sandals. John chapter 1, verse 29. He says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." John probably got that out of Isaiah chapter 53 as he was meditating on that. And in John 1:33, he says, "This man whom you see the Spirit come down and remain on, he is the one who will baptize you by the Holy Spirit. He will pour out his Spirit. He is the source of the Spirit." These are the truths that John the Baptist revealed to the listeners back when he was preaching. And John chapter 1:34, "I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God." But we can also look not only at his words, but his testimony, his lifestyle. And I think there's three things we can pull out of John's lifestyle that can help us, that'll challenge us to be a better witness for the light. And one is John's simplicity. He lived in the wilderness, didn't he? He dressed in simple leather clothes. He ate honey and locusts. His whole life stood against the luxuries of the day. You know, we go through this time, you know, the Black Friday, when everybody scrambles either to the store or to the internet to buy all this stuff. Because, if you don't have it, somehow you're missing out. And you need more of this stuff. Okay, John lived a life of simplicity. I don't think he would have been scrambling to get to the Good Friday sale. John's humility. Think about this. John was the last prophet before the entrance of Christ into the world. And he was killed for it. Right when the fledgling church was about to take off and explode into into the known world, John, he was killed. And yet he didn't resent that at all. As a matter of fact, when the disciples came to him and said, "Hey, you know, all your disciples are going to him." He said, "The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him." So he's saying he is the friend of the bridegroom. "And he is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine. It is now complete. He must become greater. I must become less." So there was a deep humility in John's life. So he had a simple life. He was humble. And at the same time, he was very courageous, wasn't he? Because he went and addressed the sin of Herod and what he did. And it cost him his life. So John is a great example of one who acted on principle, not on to say what is prudent at this time that's going to save his own neck. He could have done that very easily. So he was a man of great courage. That's a challenge for us, isn't it? If we want to be, as Christ called us, to be a witness to the light, can we be humble? Can we be courageous? Can we live a simple life that doesn't run after, as Jesus says, you know, the pagans run after that stuff. I will take care of all your needs, even before you ask. So the first thing in this text was that John sent a simple man, a man named John, or God sent a man named John. And it's his way to spread the light to the world. The second step is that John came as a witness to testify concerning to the light, and that God uses how bright our light is going to shine is based really on how we live our lives. I guess that's the simplest way to say it. And John was a burning and shining example of that. The final and third step in this text, recall, is that through him all men might believe. It didn't say believe in John the Baptist. It said through John all men might believe in the Son of God, in Jesus. The whole point of John's life was to be the truth and to point to the truth and the reality of the one that was to come after him. God sent John so that we would believe in Jesus. John witnessed to the truth so that we would believe in Jesus. John burned with zeal so that we would believe in Jesus. The gospel was written for one purpose, that we would believe, and in believing, we would have eternal life. I would like to close now in prayer, at least this part of the service, and pray now for all of us that we would, in fact, believe in Jesus. Maybe for the first time. Maybe you believed in Jesus for a long time, but it's wavered and it's faltered and it's maybe there's more doubts than faith now. I don't know. Or you get into that rut where you say, I believe, but it doesn't really translate into any sort of lifestyle change or behavior change. So I will close in prayer for this. Father, I pray now in Jesus' great name that you would incline the hearts of all of us to believe in your Son, to believe that he is the Lord, that he is so great that the greatest man was not worthy to untie his shoes, that your Son is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, the sin of anyone in the world who believes. Help us to believe that he is the very Son of God. Help us to believe that he is the bridegroom and all who follow him are his beloved and cherished bride. Help us to believe that he baptizes with the Holy Spirit. He pours his Spirit out upon those who believe. He swallows us up in his Spirit of love. He gives us life abundantly, overflowing, excessive, life upon life. Amen. And if something is hindering you, and I say this as a pastor here, if there's something hindering you from fully believing in him, let me know, maybe another respected Christian that you know who is shining the light, talk to them. We can show you reasons to believe. And we can pray with you, we can pray for you, that God would give you the grace to believe. Because life, situations in our life can really beat us down. And we can get to the point where we're not sure we even believe anymore. But we're here standing ready to help in that regard. The Christmas season is the perfect time to believe and to partake in eternal life.